Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 31 says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had been with the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace, was strengthened living in the fear of the Lord, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Lord, bring a word like only you can. Calm my nerves, bring me into focus. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, do exceedingly abundantly above whatever I could ask, think, or imagine according to my preparation time in the name of Jesus. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Oh, God, I do need thee. Every hour, every minute, every time I preach, I know I definitely need thee. I ask for your power to move in me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Take a seat. I want to speak to you from the subject of just do it. Just do it. People often wonder what God will say on the other side of eternity. Will he be loving? Will he be understanding? What will he think of my life? When I get to heaven, I want to hear God say, well done, you overachiever. Living your life for the gospel is worth it. Going to new places to share the good news of Jesus is something you'll never regret because the greatest miracle God can perform is a changed life. When you're transformed, you can't help but catch the vision to go. When you commit your life to Christ, you commit to a lifelong adventure to go and just do it where you've never and gone where you've never gone before. After Saul's dramatic encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus and in Acts of what we just read, he was transformed. Saul the persecutor became Saul the proclaimer. He caught a vision to go and proclaim the good news that Jesus is the Son of God. We see a great picture of Saul's zeal in Acts chapter 9. Look, number one, the urgency of the go. In this passage, we see Saul consumed with one goal, to make Jesus known. It turned out he was too hot to handle for those established in their faith. He was rejected and redirected to a safe distance. Yet God never promises safety in living out the gospel. You do know that, right? He ain't promised you safety. Potential, yes. Purpose, yes. Power, yes. Safety, nah. To assume living for Jesus is safe is to miss the adventure and the intensity of the goal. When you commit your life to Christ, you commit to a lifelong adventure to go where you've never been before, but this adventure also comes at a price. We have seen this price take place at Emmanuel AMM Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and other places of worship because they represent the hope and liberty Christ brings to the oppressed people. The disciples were skeptical of Saul. The Jews were lethal. The city was dangerous, yet nothing could stop Saul from powerfully, fearlessly, and boldly proclaiming Jesus. This is how we must be in the Christian life, black and white and all in between. We have got to stand up for what is right. We cannot cower down in the face of racist systems that offer little to no justice to oppressed minorities. As Saul moved from persecutor to proclaimer, he grew in his commitment to the urgency of the goal, and we must do it also. Repeatedly throughout the scripture, we are told to go. In fact, the word go shows up more than 1,400 times. We can never mistake the Bible as encouraging inactivity. It decisively reveals the urgency of God's call to go. Look at these examples. Abram, the Lord said to him in Genesis 12 and 1, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to a land I will show you. Ain't it interesting that God called him to go to a place before telling him where to go? He said, leave behind your own life. Don't your old life. Don't take nobody with you. Only thing I need you to do is depend on a relationship with me, and I need you to go here to experience this new life. See, this is how it is when you come to Christ. When you come to Christ, you really don't know what Christ wants you to do. When I told God to use me, I meant use me at home in Atlanta. I wasn't saying use me over here. I was saying, God, use me however you want to use me. And God said, okay. Didn't even apply for this job. Somebody sent my resume in, ended up here 6 months after I said, use me. Be careful. Huh? I'm just saying, God will tell you to do what he wants you to do, but a lot of times you won't know exactly what he wants you to do. Mm-hmm. And one thing about God, Reverend Drake, is he that God of them old school parents. And you be like, why God? Why you want me to do it, God? But what's the reason, God? He don't ever say nothing. But then he might say, because I said so. You understand? When you ask the devil why you want, he'll give you all the different reasons why. Because she look good. She fine. He got some money. I'm just saying. But with God, he just says, go. Moses, he used it with Moses in Exodus 3 and 10. He says, so now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses was not the cream of the crop. Moses couldn't talk. Moses would stutter all the time, trying to get his words out. Now, I state this all the time. Moses couldn't say El Shaddai, El Elyon, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, God that said, dude, just say I am. Because he went to go get Aaron because he said, I can't speak eloquently. Go get Aaron. In fact, Moses was a murderer. Moses had just killed somebody, but God said, reveal to him in the burning bush, I need you to go save my people. Go. And it doesn't matter if you're qualified because God qualifies who he calls. It doesn't matter about the degree you have or don't have. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God will call you when he wants to use you, and he begins to equip you as you go along. So look, he said, go. See, 1 Corinthians 1:27 to make smart folk mad. It says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Stop trying to act like you need to be all that for God to use you. In fact, the more humble you are, the more God can readily use you because you won't try to steal God's glory. You will let God have the glory because you already know it's not you anyway. God likes to put you in places where you know you're not qualified. God likes to put you in places where he knows you know that you ain't good enough to be there. But you understand that it's his power that causes you to be able to achieve it. Then you will truly know he who began the good work in you shall finish it. He also said it with Deborah and Barak. He said, then Deborah said to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? Sometimes God will use somebody else to tell us to go, but the problem is we just need to learn how to listen. Stop being scared. What is God having you on the edge of doing that he needs you to do right now? What is it that you're scared to go ahead and launch out into the deep and cast your net on the other side that God is asking you to do? Stop trying to stay in the shallow water and go where God has called you to be. Some of y'all always talk about Captain Kirk and Dr. Spock and always talking about they go where no man has ever gone before. Well, that's what God's trying to do in your life. Stop living out Star Trek by looking on the TV and live it out in your life, because when God calls you to do something, he will take you where no man or woman has ever been before. That's why he said he leads you into green pastures. Why? Because green pastures are pastures where no one has ever walked before, because it's green, because no cows have been there, no oxen have been there. He'll take you where nobody
everybody else has gone before. The problem is you got to be willing to go and stop trying to wait on everybody else to do it. It's funny how everybody was talking about, oh, they so worldly because they got comedy at the church on New Year's Eve. Now everybody try to do what we do. Had to throw that shade out there. Just who I am. It's in my nature. I ain't gonna blame that on God. That was totally me. I'm just saying. Because the thing about it is you gotta be able to go where no man has ever gone before. Because God said, I make you fittest of men. So why would I try to do that? I'm still going to bring the word. We're still going to preach. We're still going to have worship. But we got to use something to bait people and bring them in. Stop letting everybody dictate what you do. And stop trying to wait on permission from everybody else. When God gives you an idea, you launch out there and do it. And stop waiting on everybody else's approval. I don't want to get loud today. I got another shirt. Because I always change shirts. But I don't know if it quite matches like this one. So I'm trying not to sweat. Trying to get two wares out of this one. Let's see. Jonathan and his armor bearer. He said, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether it be many or by few. Do all that you have in mind, the armor bearer said. Go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul. Both Jonathan and the armor bearer showed great faith and understood the urgency of God. They went anyway. Look at this. Look, if you really read the whole story, I'm just going to tell you the story. Look at Brother Woody. The funny thing about it, he said, if they call me up to the mountain, we saying we ready. If we say, hey, man, we coming to fight you. And they say, yeah, come on up here. That's a sign God going to give them to us. What? They up on the high ground, and you telling me you going to climb up there and go fight 4 times more people than you are numbered. It's only 2 of y'all. Y'all finna go fight 20-something, 30 soldiers after you climb up a mountain? Maybe if they fell off the mountain, that's what I say. Reverend Son, I'd be like, hey, man, if we call them out and they fall the mountain, that's the sign God gave them to us. Now they said, if they call us up, they climbed up there and went to fight. Why? Because they understood if God says go, you can't lose. Some of you all need to get to the point of understanding if you just go, you don't lose. Who does God use? Those who stand up. It says many are called, few are chosen, because few stand up after they are called. When God has called all of us to do something, it may not be in the pulpit, it may not be the priest, but God has called you to do something. He's called some of you all to be politicians. He called some of you all to be doctors. He called some of you all to be lawyers. He called some of you all to be custodians. He called some of you all to be whatever it is he's called you to be, but wherever you are, you're planted in the world to be a witness for God. And so when God sends you somewhere, stop looking for permission from everybody else. It's funny how my mentors, some of them said, no, don't go over there and get that building. You're going to be landlocked. And I'm like, you're going to be landlocked wherever you go. In fact, it's sit on 4 acres. Oh, I ain't know it's on that many acres. Well, yeah, don't worry about it. How about this? Mentor me in the spirit. Let me handle my business. I got the business down. I don't need the help with that. And you help me walk more in the spirit. But when God say, had this building, I do real estate, it's ours. You can't worry about getting permission from everybody all the time. Because God, when he tells you to go, you got to go. See, I'm sure, I hope this makes you understand what's going on with Ananias. Ananias, it made sense of Saul's calling. Barnabas connected them to the church. Ananias, I'm sure, look what had to be going through Ananias' mind. It says, look, the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Ananias probably wished he was anywhere but Damascus that day. Hold on, God. This dude trying to kill us and you want me to go heal him? You sure I heard you right? Hold on, man. Let me go get some Q-tips, guy. I don't think you really said it. Go over here and handle it. Understandably, Ananias questions God's plan, yet we see God reaffirming. After Ananias, he said, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. After he asked, then Ananias said, look here. He said, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. God wanted Ananias to see the urgency of the go, even when it was dangerous and scary. And Ananias did go, causing the greatest missionary in history to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you got to be willing to go. Some people tell me, why in the world do you go to the hood in the middle of the night when you get a chaplain call? Because God told me to go. And I thank Deacon Spells for fussing at everybody and making sure I had a vest. But at the end of the day, I was going even without a vest. Because why? If God say go, I'll be covered. And if I die doing what God tells me to do, I know I got a free trip to heaven. You got to learn how to just go where God has sent you and stop worrying about permission from everybody else. It may not make sense to anybody but you. Come on, somebody. If they'll ask you why in the world you're going and working with the police, you will sell out. No, I'm an inside man, so when stuff goes wrong, I can be like, look here, this wasn't right. Come on, somebody. Just the other day, one of the prominent pastors called me and said, I feel like my son got profiled today, and I called the chief and let him know what was going on, and now they're in a mediating situation trying to work it out. You got to do what God tells you to do. Call me what you want to call me, but I go where God has sent me because he has a purpose for my life. Ooh. Is the air on, cool or hot? It is? I'm just trying to make sure. Yeah. All right. Hey, turn it down just a little bit. Y'all hot? Y'all cold? Y'all good? Hey, anyway, these are a few examples of scripture pointing to the urgency of goal. They help us see Saul. Just put it on 70, the lowest. 7, don't put it on too low. They help us to see Saul as part of a long tradition of focusing on the goal and tradition carried on to you and me. God continued to send people to encourage him to go, and we believe he equips those he calls. Saul was redirected to Tarsus. We don't know whether he chose to go or was forced to go. It would have been easy for Saul to feel like quitting. It would have been easy for him to think that he had misheard God's call, yet Saul gave God the benefit of the doubt. Even though conditions were not perfect, he still went. Some of us not going because we're waiting on the wind to be blowing just at this speed. We wait on the sun to be sitting right where we need it. We're waiting on the storm clouds to move. We don't want no hail storms where we going. Some people told me too, when you go with God, if it really was God, it'd be easy. Man, what in the world are you talking about? What in the heaven's name are you talking about telling me that it would be easy? If it would be easy, everybody would be able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Because God said, in fact, he tells you, I prepare a place for you in the presence of your enemies. So the first prerequisite is there's some hell breaking out in your life, because God already told you he don't bless you in front of your friends. He bless you in the presence of your enemies to make sure everybody know how much power he has. Just do it. Stop waiting on everybody and stop waiting on the perfect situation and the perfect weather. It's urgent when God calls you to go. God is calling you to go, and I pray you're willing to follow the call. Everybody's called to do something. The problem is you keep trying to be like everybody else. Stop trying to do what everybody else is supposed to do. I don't get up and say, never would, because I can't sing. I let them handle it. If I feel like I can't spirit again, hey, Peter's grabbed the mic. You know, I ain't singing. Priests get up there and sing, knowing they can't sing, because they feel like they're supposed to be able to sing. I can't. I joke here and there, because I can do that. But, you know, I can't sing, so I don't. Stop trying to do what you're not sent. The problem is we keep trying to duplicate everybody else. Do you realize the original is always more clear than the duplicate, no matter how many? And in fact, if you keep copying the same thing over and over again, after a while, you won't be able to read it, no matter how good the copy machine is. Can I tell you to stop duplicating and imitating everybody else? It'll never be as potent as what they're doing. You got to be the original you. Stop trying to be like everybody else and stop trying to go where they sent Minister Sean. Stop trying to go where they sent Deacon Knox. Stop trying to go where they sent Deacon Allen. Go where they sent you. Stop trying to walk in the footsteps of other people, because God has a unique job for you. There's a fingerprint on you that if you stole something and left it, everybody gonna know it's you, because ain't nobody else got that fingerprint but you. You need to understand that there's a call on your life that nobody can fulfill but you, because God has contoured you and shaped you in the way he wanted you to be, to reach who he wanted you to reach and to accomplish what he wanted you to accomplish. Stop sitting down on your blessed assurance and get up and do something. Number two, you got some roadblocks to go. Living for Christ among the shadows of your past. See, Saul was the up-and-coming Pharisee. His greatest accolade was supervising the killing of Stephen by a mob of his people in Acts chapter 8. As we said before, he'd gone to Damascus on a mission to imprison and persecute the Christians. Acts 9:21 says, "And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them prisoner to the chief priest?'" When we respond to the go, we get a fresh start with Jesus. But people not quick to forget. Lord have mercy. I hate when I run to somebody who went to Georgia Southern with me. Lord have mercy. You preaching for real? You Maxwell, you still willing? All right, yeah, okay. Okay, all right, he's preaching now. Y'all, this Negro over here preaching. You know, good and well, I remember when. That's how people be. They try to keep you where you used to be. But when you come to Christ, you are what? A new creature. God has transformed you. You still might have some remnants on your life. You still may mess up here and now and then. You still may mess up a lot. But when you begin to come to God, you can't even drop it in the club like it's hot like you used to. Come on, somebody. It's a smell on you. Some of y'all be trying to go to the club and drop like a hot. It doesn't run up to a shout there. Because why? Because his smell is on you. And, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Even when you try to forget that you had an encounter with God, God reminds you whose you are. You can't even cuss right no more. You don't even know how to cuss nobody out. You can't even snap your neck right no more. You trying to go back to the world, but God said, I don't care what they remember. I have brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light, and you are a new creature. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm... Oh, feeling unprepared to be used by God. Don't let your past stop you. Your future don't care nothing about your past. You do know that, right? Yeah. One of the biggest questions when God calls us to go is often, how long am I supposed to wait and prepare before I act on the go? Acts 9:19 through 20 gives us great insight into how Saul prepared to respond to his calling. He ate to regain strength, spent time with the disciples, and then went out. See, the reference of Saul eating represents growing to a place of health before we're sent out. Sometimes God calls us, but we have unhealthy relationships, addictions, or repetitive sins that keep us spiritually malnourished. To respond to God's call on your hour life and to live out the goal, we must get healthy spiritually and emotionally. Remember that health doesn't mean perfection, but rather a growing obedience to the standard of God. Saul also spent time with the people who had been following Jesus longer than him. In Damascus, he spent some time with Ananias. In Jerusalem, he spent time with Peter. To live out the goal of our lives and withstand the roadblocks, we need to connect, to be connected to people familiar with the path. Saul would spend the rest of his life connected to other believers. Saul, later Paul, prayed with them, ate with them, even debated with them on occasion. We need to be connected to the spiritual community just as Saul was. Find a small group. Find a serving team. Surround yourself with people who push you towards Jesus. As Saul invested in his health and community, he prepared to go. Acts 9:19 tells us that after he regained his strength, he went out at once. When God calls you, the correct response is to make sure you're healthy, connected in the community, and go. You'll always feel unprepared, whether God's asking you to take the first step or the 50th. Not understanding God's plan. Saul struggled to understand why God would use Peter, an uneducated, unsuccessful fisherman, to fulfill his plan. Huh? And Peter was like, how can he use this uppity dude who used to try to kill people? Everybody always worried about somebody else. Everybody always trying to judge what God can do and what God can't do. The more mature you become in your faith, the less you think it's your job to know what the next step would be in your life, and especially anybody else's life. See, Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. There are many who will walk away from the goal on their life because they want understanding before they take the step of faith. You do know faith means moving before you know everything. Yeah, faith is the substance and faith is the evidence. Because you have faith, because if God put that thought in your mind, if God put that thought in your spirit, if God put that drive in you, it will happen. But that doesn't mean you won't have any doubts. That doesn't mean everything is going to be worked out before you get there. Yeah, don't hear me, y'all. Yet God doesn't work that way, whether it's the first step of overcoming an addiction, embracing deeper relationship with God, or serving in a greater way. I have yet to meet someone who chose to go and regretted it. See, but can I tell you something too? Knowing God's plan will bring pain. Jesus, I wish I could just preach this gospel that was always happy. Going doesn't spare us from hardships, even though we go great things are accomplished. Saul spent just 2 weeks in Jerusalem before they had to sneak him away from the next city because they were trying to kill him. 2 weeks. Got saved. 2 weeks later, they're trying to kill him. Some of us got saved. All of a sudden, we ain't been paying our note all the time. They didn't want to come take our car. Should have paid for it, but I'm just saying. But the thing about it is, attacks come when you come into the kingdom. Attacks come more readily when you're trying to serve the kingdom. Why you think so many leaders fall? Because the devil knows if he can just hit the leader, he can get everybody else around them. That's who we're trying to hit all the time, because if he can hit me, if he can hit a pastor, if he can hit a delegate, if he can hit a governor, if he can just, boom, take a leader out, everybody else that has faith in them will fall with them. That's why you got to be prayed up. That's why you have to be covered. Because the devil is coming for you when you're doing something for God. He doesn't care when you're sitting on the sidelines. Nobody found you when you're sitting on the bench. Nobody tackled you when you're on the sidelines. You're not in the game. Some of us come to church every Sunday, but since we're not in the game, we never get attacked. But want to judge everybody else. I knew it. I knew he wasn't real. We talked about the prodigal son that left, but what about the prodigal son that stayed at home and then never do nothing? See, if you never go out and lunge into the deep, you will never fall, because if some of you all just come to church and sit in the pew and go home, it's easy not to sin here if you don't sit by the wrong person. Had to put that disclaimer out there. some folks get on your nerves in church. But look. From prison cell awaiting execution, Paul wrote this, "For you have been given not only the privileges of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him." When you really embrace God's call, you begin to call it an honor when people attack you. Why? Because you do already understand that people don't pay attention to you, and the devil doesn't pay attention to you until you start doing great things for God. Then you become a threat to his kingdom. So then he begins to send minions to you. When enemies come at you, that's your clue that you're doing something right. Huh? That's your clue. You're doing something right when you begin to get attacked, because God already said he prepares a place for you in the presence of your what? Not in the presence of your mama and them. Presence of your enemies, not in the presence with your cousin and your ace boom coon. No. He prepares a place for you in the presence of your enemies to let your enemies know who he is and to let you know who he is as well. Because really, if he bless you in the midst of your enemies, you'll stay on your knees, because you know if you're not on your knees, you can't keep that blessing. When you begin to stay on your knees, God begins to surround you, allow you to be surrounded by enemies, because you will understand that you got to look to the hills in which cometh your help, and you won't get the big hand thinking it was all you. When you begin to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you begin to understand, I got to trust him every day. I need thee, Lord, every hour. I need thee, Lord. That ain't come from nobody who ain't had no experience with God. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. That was somebody that was stuck in a foxhole. That was somebody that was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But his rod and his staff. Oh, I'm trying to talk to some people. Embracing. God's command will cost you something. No question about it. For you to just do it and embrace the goal means you may lose a relationship. It means you might have to follow God across the globe. It means you got to give up a cushy retirement to invest in God's kingdom. You never know what God is calling you to do. The reality is that God has a goal for every one of us today. He isn't a passive God. He's active. Jesus spoke about a heavenly Father who loves the people of this world so much that he would go from the 99 to save the one lost sheep. He chose this crazy, overzealous Pharisee named Saul to become his leader in the early church, a man who almost got himself killed 2 weeks after following him. For most of us in the room, the goal isn't to become a missionary or to put your life online tomorrow. For many of you, the goal is becoming a better parent. The goal is starting a faith-filled conversation at work tomorrow. The goal is writing a check for one of God's sons or daughters across the world. For some of you, the goal is to get healthy so God can give you a greater goal. You won't have all the answers. You might not know where the money will come from. You might be called crazy, and you'll probably be terrified in the process. But when we go, we do not go alone. In your goal, there is a greater awareness of Jesus. In your goal, there's a greater sense of the reason you're here. And if we all respond to our own goal, I believe God will do more in the next generation than the world has ever seen. Technology has allowed us to bring the gospel to business through organizations like One Hope and the collaboration of churches around the world. Everybody around the world can see this. If we can learn how to have the old school and give the wisdom to the new school, and let the old school be able to teach the new school how they need to work with wisdom, and let the new school begin to teach old school how to use technology, what power would we have if we know how to take the gospel to Facebook, know how to take the gospel to Snapchat, know how to take the gospel to Instagram, and be having the elders to sit on the sideline. Can I tell you something to my elders and my senior citizens in the house? When David went out to war and got thirsty, they had to bring him something to drink. The last time he got to fight, like, hey, look here, man. David, we done went and got your water. Put this sword down and sit down. We don't need you to fight no more. We need your wisdom. Some of y'all be walking around here 80 years old trying to do security. Tell security how to do security. Huh? Stop trying to do all that stuff. That ain't for you to be in the battle no more. It's for you to give wisdom. But we got to learn our lanes and what we're in. And sometimes it's time to come off the battlefield and train the soldier that's on the battlefield. You are still important because your wisdom need to be gleaned from. Y'all don't hear me? I'm trying to go. I'm becoming far more sensitive now. I was looking at some comedy, Cole, Keith Cole, or whatever his name is. And he said, Pastor, black pastor, I was talking about something. You don't hear me. And he was like, what about the deaf people in the church? And I was like, oh, let me stop saying you can't hear me, because some people probably can't hear me. But I can't help it. Y'all don't hear me. Anyway, hallelujah. In closing, we need to understand this. I want to speak directly to one more group of people who need to go. Maybe the idea of God having a special calling for your life sounds ridiculous because you've never experienced a personal God. Understand this, the motivation behind the goal we talk about to you today, the motivation behind the goal that I'm talking about today is about you. 2,000 years ago, God came to earth because you were far off. He lived perfectly, died a sinner's death, and rose from the dead. He chose to go from his home in heaven to this broken world to redeem you. He then commanded his followers to go around the world to reach every single one of us with this message. Today, you're here because the going God has reached out to you. And if you will respond today, you can live the life you were meant to. Taking your goal from the God who created you and planned out your life. What is your goal today? Whatever your step is to take, don't let this day pass without responding. See, imagine what your family might look like a month from now if you responded to the goal. Imagine what your church would look like a year from now if this room were full of people responding to the goal. Imagine how different our nation landscape could look if today across America, thousands of churches embraced the goal and just did what God asked them to do. Let's see what God can do through his church. Let's respond to God's word by embracing his call for us. Let's be the church of the goal. We cannot let evildoers do more than us. In my closing, I got to talk about Dr. King. He wrote part of his letter from the Birmingham jail. He says, more and more, this is Dr. Martin Luther King, more and more I feel that the people of ill will have used time much more effectively than have people of goodwill. We will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people. See, my appeal is not to target the overt sinner who lives how he or she wants, although I pray God touches your heart through the peripheral effect of the anointing. My focus is on the people living good lives to the outside eye, but are not being obedient to the assignment God has assigned you. See, men, the church, and this generation needs your godly strength more than ever in these days, even more so than the days of Jim Crow, Dred Scott, Plessy versus Ferguson, or even Brown versus Board of Education. We are living in a time of great camouflage when we have spiritual warfare. Well, because we elected a black president, we think racism over. We think police don't pull over people just because they look darker. We don't understand that because we live in a camouflage time. The greatest miracle, the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled off is to make some people think he don't exist. And he does that with everything. He'll make you think racism don't exist. He'll make you think classism doesn't exist. He'll make you think bigotry doesn't exist. He'll make you think all these different things doesn't exist to make sure that you don't go out with your kingdom power to combat what's going on. We live in a country today, and I know it's election time, so I got to say something. We live in a country today where, you know, one set of people can go out and chase the police around armed and be taken in alive, kill 9 and 10 and 20 people and be taken in alive, and other people could be selling cigarettes and get choked to death, and nobody get indicted. We live in a time when all this stuff happens and we still act like we made it. Now, we further along than we support that we were before, but we still not where we should be. And what if we had a lot of bold people, when they go to the polls, they vote because they know what that person is standing for? What if we got up our blessed assurance and went and voted for who we knew was going to vote on the right legislation to make sure that we take care of our city and our country? Come on, somebody. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I feel you. I hear you. When you get upset about politicians, when you get upset about sheriffs, when you get upset about chiefs of police, but your vote makes stuff happen. You cannot sit down on your blessed assurance and think the world is going to be better because you just sitting there praying, waiting on the great by and by. You need to get up and do something. God says faith without works is dead. You need to get out and vote. You need to sit out here and work the polls. You need to get out here and make sure that you begin to take care and exercise your amendment rights that you're able to vote. People died for you to be able to vote. People got hung for you to be able to vote. People got lynched for you to be able to write the vote, and you want to sit at home and say you ain't voting because everything gonna be all right. God changes the world through you. God changes the world through you. He became God. He walked down 42 burning generations and became Jesus, a man, to show you how to live as a man and a woman. When the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Why do you heal this lady on the Sabbath day?" He said, "You would take care of your donkey if it broke its leg. You feed your oxen on the Sabbath day. So why in the world can't I heal my daughter on the Sabbath day?" Jesus didn't sit back and didn't talk about politics. Jesus didn't sit. Yeah, I know it's a separation of the church and state, but the church got to hold the world accountable. Where are you going to be? The church cannot hold the world accountable when everybody think they called to preach. Some of you not called to preach, but you're called to be in politics. You're called to be singers. You're called to be doctors. God needs you all around the world to be salt of the world, to change what's going on. You can't sit at home with your apathetic spirit and not vote because you act like everything will be all right if you pray. The Bible says watch and pray. Which means you need to do something. Oh, it'd be all right. Jesus got me. Faith without works is dead. And so is your raggedy thoughts. Some people mad about who the president is and they didn't even vote that day. I know this sermon ending way funny. But I got to tell you something. The church is supposed to be the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. The lender and not the borrower. We're supposed to walk in liberty and power. But we can't do that if we're not walking in examples. You need to go out and call some people, text some people, and tell them they better go vote on Tuesday. We coming for you. If you need a ride to go vote, we'll go get you. Why? Because you need to exercise your rights. People died. Not just black people died for you. White people died too. Hispanic people died. Other people all in between, because some people didn't let injustices happen to people just because they were of a different color or ethnicity. People lost their families fighting. Just like Saul lost his friends when he had a dramatic change. Some white people lost their jobs. They did. Some white people got killed in the fight, in the struggle, marching with King. Some people started patronizing their businesses because they were trying to take up for some of us who in the room, and some of us grandmothers and grandfathers and ancestors. So don't act like the fight is just this one shade or this one hue. The fight is anyone who's called to the kingdom. Anyone who has a kingdom mind is on your side. Anyone that has a kingdom mind is on your side and in the same fight you are. Even if we don't agree politically, we're still on the same side. Not saying we all got to vote for the same people, but you need to go vote. Why? Because faith without works is dead. And I'm tired of church sitting up here just having prayer meetings and don't do nothing after the prayer meeting. Now, you definitely need to have a prayer meeting, but the prayer meeting is for you to strategize and get yourself together to be able to go out and fight and do what it is you're supposed to do. This ain't game time. This is a locker room. This is a pep talk. I seen you in the game when you walk out the door. This any given Sunday, but I'm Al Pacino, but I'm a preacher today. I'm your coach to get you ready to go out into the game. And the easy, obvious game you need to play this week is to go vote. Find out. Research. The internet is too prominent for you not to be able to find out information about candidates. If you need information, you can see somebody. You ain't just got to see me. Find somebody. Somebody will know. But with that said, is there anyone right now that needs, that hears the urgency of the go or the come, if you will, to Jesus? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but if you don't have a relationship with Christ, he can't strengthen you because you haven't given him permission. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Is there one?